Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Thank you, Dave, so much. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood here in Baltimore, Maryland, USA. I know there's a lot going on in the world. We are just going to ignore all of that. You know why? Because we have a gentleman with us this hour who, honest to goodness, gave me a revelation. Listen to me when I tell you that everybody and his mama sends me a lot of product, or then I find out about different folks who's getting buzz, and I absolutely gravitate to their page, whether it's Facebook or a website or whether they're tweeting. Such is the case with Patrick Yandell. I absolutely discovered that a few friends of mine were buzzing about a single and about this new CD, Soul Grind. And I went, now, I haven't heard Patrick's name in a while, and since I'm listening to all this music, let me take a moment to gravitate to Soul Grind. I'm telling you what, every track that I heard was different. And everything that I had heard about Patrick, when we talked before on Cool Jazz Conversations, this is a few years ago when I was co-hosting, he may not remember. In any case, the music was just so fresh. It was, and people were buzzing about this. Here is a multi-genre guitarist, a producer, a composer, and here's the surprising thing too, not only of these different kind of unique and spontaneous and passionate songs, but also movie and TV and commercials. I am so tickled to have him. Ladies and gentlemen, here is the amazing Patrick Yandell.
Boy, how do you follow all that? Thank you, Trish. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for being an early riser on the West Coast and making sure that you talk to me. Patrick, really, I am just so tickled. And here's something else. I listened to Soul Grind again this morning, and there were a couple of other songs that slapped me right in the face. I loved it.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. I'm glad you like it. It's got some good, like you say, it's got some great buzz going for it right now, and it's hopefully it keeps going.
Yeah, and you are one of the hardest working individuals, honestly, in this land, this big old vast land of contemporary jazz. But I can't even call you that because you're so much more. Folks are going to get their heads blown off because we're going to play a couple of tracks this hour, and people are going to say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's Patrick Yandell?
Yeah, that happens sometimes at concerts, you know, especially when I get paired with a smooth jazz artist that's maybe a little bit, you know, how do I put it, a little bit lighter, you know, it keeps it real smooth and light and airy, and we come on and all of a sudden we're doing some rock jazz, and I don't know, some people like it, some people look at it like, hey, I didn't come here to hear that, so I don't know. That's part of being an artist, you know. You're going to get some people that just love it and some people that just, you know, say, hey, that's not what I was coming here for. So anyway, that's part of the game. So,
yeah. Listen, you always need to stay true to you. This is just what's so exciting. Here's one of the impressive feats of yours in the past several months. How is it, Patrick, that somebody took notice of what you did and you have a track that's in the very well-received Sundance winner, Fruitvale Station? That's a big deal.
That was a big deal to me. That's kind of a jewel in my cap, really. It was I was approached about using some music for that, and I had heard about the movie in production and the story behind it, and I remember that story about the young gentleman that was, you know, killed by the policeman up in San Francisco.
Yep.
And I said, you know what, whatever you need from me, I'm in. And you know, you're still not sure if they're going to end up, you know, you get approached by a lot of things. You're not sure if they're going to use it or not. But when the movie came out and the music production company let me know, hey, we used Mr. Fatburger in it, and that tune means a lot to me because I wrote that for a keyboardist that was in the group Fatburger, Carl Evans. I don't know if you guys remember that group Fatburger, and
yes.
I used to work with him a lot, and he was my mentor. You know, he really guided me, and he passed away a few years ago, and it was just pretty devastating to a lot of us musicians in San Diego because he really took us under his wing. And you know, when Fatburger started to do well internationally, he kind of, you know, he let us know what to look out for. And again, he was a great mentor, a great person. I loved him to death, and that song was for him. So when they used that in Fruitvale Station, I was just proud. I was proud to have that song in there, and proud what the song, you know, came from, and proud for where the song was being used.
You know what? That's interesting that you've just told us that story, because it's almost like a sign from above that a new angel was taking care of you.
Yeah, I think Carl was looking out for me on that one. he was such a great person and just the biggest heart you ever find in somebody. So I was really proud to have that tune being used in a film like that.
Well, you know, it's no surprise to some of us because your music has been featured in multiple TV and film endeavors. And I remember War Incorporated with John Cusack. This is back in 2008, right?
Yeah, that was a pretty dark and kind of quirky film. And again, I was just happy to have my song be involved with something, you know, John Cusack in there and Marissa Tomei, and I think Hilary Duff even starred in that one. So it was a pretty out there, quirky movie. And again, it was just great to see my stuff being used in feature film.
Well, Patrick, honestly, I am so impressed. I've gone back now, even as far as 1994, that feels nice, to refresh my memory. I want to know, and quite honestly, all of the artists that I originally got to know about, I'd say 7 or 8 years ago, because WSMJ was on the air in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, we played Patrick Yandel music, and you know, it's really neat to go back and listen to some of those tapes that were back then. But there's a whole bunch that you have done in the past several years. And Soul Grind is like something that must be the ultimate source of pride for you, because you have all of your inspirations, it seems, in this music on this CD, don't you?
Yes, definitely. There's a little gospel blues flavor in there. Some rock all creeps in, and definitely a lot of R&B, and like you say, there's just a little bit of every flavor in this thing, and I tried to make it work and be cohesive, and like you say, just stick to my guns and just put out music that I enjoy, and if I heard it, I would say, oh, that's a pretty cool song, you know what I mean? And hopefully other people, when they hear it, they think the same thing. That's what every artist goes for. But again, I didn't go in thinking I've got to make this total smooth jazz album, hoping to it be successful on the smooth jazz market. I just made an album with music I love to listen to and love to play. And you know, we got to perform some of these live already at a club out here called Spaghettini, where everybody's kind of playing nowadays. Even Larry Sharp and all these guys. And it was, the music was just a blast to play, and it's great for an artist to look around at the band and look at them, and it seems like they're just enjoying themselves to be playing music like that. The keyboard player that plays with me, Kevin Flournoy, he just got off a tour with Chaka Khan, and he tours the world with the Pointer Sisters, and he's played with just about every smooth jazz artist. So again, when I have him on the bandstand and he looks like he's having a great time, it really means a lot to me.
Well, I love the idea that you are going to stick to your guns and do what feels good to you, because first of all, you mentioned a lot of genres that were your influences, but you know what else I heard, too, that might surprise you when I was listening to the CD? I heard a couple of elements of country music in there as well. So,
Oh, yeah, and I know about
that because I was involved in country from 1976 till my son was born. So, you know, some of these songs are predisposed to that kind of format, which is so hot. And then one of my friends who knew that you were going to be on the show, she said, you know what? She said, Patrick really impresses me because if you can do Human Nature, Room 335, and Josie on an album that's mostly your originals, and you play it like you're playing it just like the original, and you maybe even surpass it a little, she said, that takes some cojones.
That's funny. Well, that's a heck of a compliment. That's a heck of a compliment.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So
you know,
Larry Carlton's
such a big influence on my music too, and you know, if you listen to Larry's stuff, you hear country in there, you hear R&B, you hear soul, you hear blues, and that again, that's why he I've got to meet him at a few jazz festivals I've played at, and he's, besides being just a great big heart and soul like Carl Evans Jr., he's just, his music is all told me, you know, hey, there's country in there. There's just good music is good music, and you have to go for it.
Oh, yeah. The greats really do that. Somebody just posted on my Facebook page yesterday, Linda, who is always saying these very wise things. She's like the matriarch of my friends. She said, that's the mark of a great artist when you know how to jump from genre to genre, and you love each genre, and you contribute a little bit of the music that comes from others. You take the jazz into rock, you take the rock into country, you take the you know, the gospel into each of those. It becomes you become a breed apart. That's what she was basically saying. So
no.
You are.
No, thank you. That's what I've always been. I've grown up listening and playing so many different styles of music, and I just love it. You know, there's good music and there's bad music, just like everything. And I never discriminated, saying, "Well, I'm never going to listen to this." And you know, some traditional jazz artists I've gotten to know over the years, they're kind of jazz is the only thing. And I always look at that. You're limiting yourself so much, you know. You're shedding out a lot of great music that's out there. So I listen to everything, and if I like it, I like it. If I don't, I don't. That's the way I've always been.
Well, you know what, Patrick? I've come to find out through the years. I know that you're a seasoned vet, and I'm years older than you. I've come to understand, because I love jazz so much, but when somebody loves a particular genre so much that he or she wants to expand the horizons of what people think of the genre, you can only help people come to love that particular kind of music. And that is what struck me about listening to Soul Grind, because I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is the reason why I fell in love with jazz. We were listening to stations in Philadelphia when I was growing up, AM and FM radio, and they were playing variations on a theme of what interpretations of jazz was. You know, maybe you were listening to that kind of radio too. There was adult contemporary music, and you could hear these great vocalists. There were stations that were playing straight ahead jazz. There was instrumental music, which you really could not classify as being jazz, but it was instrumental. So, you know, all of that, when you combine it all and your particular influences, it just can't help but make you love music that much more when you feel somebody's heart and soul go into the whys of why they interpreted it that way.
Right. That's beautiful. That's exactly how I approach music. You know, I just, again, and I don't think you're older than me, but thank you for that. Anyway, when you're talking about those old stations, you know, those old stations. When I got into this, my first album actually came out in like 1992, and it was called Contemporary Jazz. And the first few bands I used to go see, like there was Yellow Jackets and who else was starting back then, you know, Spiral Driver. And, you know, when you see those, when I saw those guys live, they were just doing all these, again, like kind of like Soul Grind. Those, you would hear one song, it'd be R&B, next song would be Latin, next song would be, you know, rock sounding. You know, that's what it was back then. It wasn't. When the term smooth jazz came in, you know, a lot of us musicians are like, well, does that mean we're supposed to be real light and airy and nothing, you know, real hard hitting? It was kind of scary, to believe it or not. You know, that again, that's not just for me. There was a lot of artists that, my first record label, there was a band, Kilauea, and there's some other bands, you know, Richard Smith, the fabulous guitarist was in there, and all of us were just used to just sit around, you know, we're smooth jazz now. Golly, that it's so limiting, you know. Again, I don't.
Listen, you're preaching to the choir, baby.
Yeah, you know what I mean? A lot of us, when that term came around, I was like, uh-oh, what's going on? So, anyway, you know, music's kind of, you know, goes around, comes around, and it's starting to come around again, where artists are doing just what sounds good to them and what feels good to them, no matter what label, you know, gets put on it. So it's kind of nice to see with the instrumental stuff.
It really is. And man, if this isn't a startling and delightful example of the variations on a theme of instrumental music, oh God, for some of this is a high. I'm looking at the songs. These are the songs I programmed for today, Patrick, because I couldn't make up my mind. I've got Josie, My Lady, When Robins Fly, Say Owl, which I'm saving for the last, by the way. Oh my God. That was a trip to hear. Lord, my son came downstairs because he said, okay, who's that? It was awesome.
That's a compliment for somebody his age to be interested in it. That's nice to hear. They've actually started playing it out here on a primarily rock station in San Diego, or KPRI, The host of the show called me and said, I'm playing this on here. I said, what, you are? He said, boy,
wow.
He said, I gave a teaser of it, and people are calling up, who's that rock guitarist? Who's that guy? So it's nice to hear things like that, and know it's being appreciated by, you know, people that might not listen to quote-unquote smooth jazz. They are drawn to it because they heard something they liked in it.
Well, it's funny because, you know how music is so beautiful because you have a chemical reaction to some tunes, and then other songs can draw you in and throw you back in a place and time. When I was listening to that, it reminded me of my Steve Morse period.
Oh my gosh, that's, you know, the guitar, the sound I went for when it's being, it's called overdrive. That's the sound I was going for. I mean, I grew up listening to the Dixie Dregs and all that stuff, and that's where I was coming from. Oh, that's funny you heard that. I'm glad to hear that.
Oh, yeah, because it's just got that vibe. I mean, you either have the testosterone to play that right, or you just don't play it, okay?
Well, that's, you know, the host of that show here in San Diego was saying, are you going to do that live? And I said, I got to get the band ready, and we got to practice that before we go out and play it live, because it's a tough tune to play live. But, you know, we played it at the CD release party up in near LA at that club Spaghettini, and there's a YouTube video on it, and it came out great. It was just smoking, I thought, so.
Well, you know what? Why should we wait? Why can't we just play it now?
Okay, whatever you feel like, it's fine. I'm telling you, I love, these are like my kids. When everybody asks me what's my favorite tune, I say that's really tough because I love them all. I do.
Well, listen, we have a who is absolutely faithful in listening to hybrid jazz. Griselda's in Texas, and when she hears this, she's going to keel over. You hear me, Patrick? So we're going to play it for her in the chat room right now. This is Patrick Yandel, our guest on Hybrid Jazz. Say ow. from Soul Grind. Check it out.
Thank you, Trish. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Listen, we're loving you in the chat room. The ladies, we got Beach from California and Griselda in Texas, and they're going back and forth saying, that's not smooth jazz, baby. We love it. And listen, you know, this would be so cool. While the song was playing at this particular time, because this is like the fourth or fifth time I've heard it now, I'm thinking to myself, you know what? How awesome will that be to have that song on a continuous loop? So when the trick-or-treaters come to the house on Halloween, I'm going to be playing that song.
Oh, good, yeah. The heart breathing, that'll get to
them. You know what? It's just perfect. It's like I really do think of Michael Jackson and Thriller a little bit when I hear that song in my head now. Woo! That's good imagery.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Now, how on earth did all of this inspiration hit you? You must have been a little guy. You were playing the guitar at 8, were you not?
Yeah. Yeah, I started playing trumpet at about 6 years old, but around 8 years old, my dad had a bunch of instruments laying around. He was a musician, and he played in the Army band, and so he could play saxophone, bass, guitar, drums. He was one of those guys, so he had a bunch of guitars laying around, and I started messing around with them, and I just gravitated. You know, it was kind of a immediate gratification. I had a pretty good ear, again, probably from my dad, and I just started being able to pick up songs within a few months of playing guitar.
That's so awesome. And then you must explain this, because at 13, you were playing in the clubs, Patrick? What?
Yeah, I had older brothers. You know, they were about 5 or 6 years older than me, and you know, I was playing in church and once in a while playing for little things involved with the church. And a couple of times my brother had his friends come out and say, yeah, you got to check my brother out. And, you know, 13, and, you know, they were kind of weird. Oh, 13-year-old, why? You know, they said, well, just come out and listen to him. Well, after the first couple came out and listened to me, they said, hey, we have a band. Would you want to play it? I'm thinking, what do you mean? We'll play where? And, you know, they were already on playing in some of the clubs around Michigan. I went to my mom. I said, you know, it's a way I can make money. And so, again, I gave up a few things to start playing in those clubs, but it was worth it. And at some of the clubs, well, at most of them, actually, on breaks, I couldn't be in the club. So on breaks, sometimes I had to go outside or they had a special room for me to go sit in until it was time for the band to play again. So it was interesting at that age.
It must have been, and it's further proof that when you have an instrument in your hand at that young age, and then you come into a spotlight also at an early age where you're playing and people are watching you, it's a whole different story than someone who's playing privately for a long time and then they get the spotlight. So it's as natural to you as breathing to have that guitar in your hands. You must be a big, how shall we say, passionate supporter of jazz education, because how many times, Patrick, have you sought out that guitar or any of the other instruments that you play as solace, peace? Sometimes there's things happening in your life, and the only thing you can think of to do is to get your hands on that instrument.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going back to Michigan in November to do a concert. I do in my hometown. It's called the State Theater in Bay City, Michigan, on November 23rd. And usually I come in a week early, and a lot of times the promoter of that concert has me go around and speak to high schools about careers in music. And
wow,
that's one of the things I touch on. You know, your instrument, and most of these guys are in high school and they've been playing in band for a while. You know, I always say, you know, your instrument is probably one of your best forms of escape that you have, you know, to go play an instrument and to hear and to get good at something, learn complicated pieces or any piece you enjoy and then to play it. I said, you know, there's, to me, there's no better feeling than that. So again, I totally agree with you. With me, the guitar especially, over the years, my mom passed away a few years ago. What did I go do? Oh. You know, I went and started composing music, you know, in honor of her, in memory of her, and grabbing the guitar. And just, you know, that's always been, again, a form of escape, a form of expression. It's something that I play guitar every day. I'm recording stuff in my studio every day and doing music. But like you say, it's like breathing to me. If I couldn't do record and play guitar, I hate to think what I'd become, because it's
exactly.
Just such a big part of my
and how can we make people understand honestly that, you know, here's somebody like you that has excelled in many different directions with your instruments. I mean, not only carving out a career where you have had chart success time after time and getting this continual buzz in your career, and then you're called upon to do music for TV and for films and for commercials, and you seem to be an astute businessman. What would really you have done without music? People need to understand that it's not only, and this is the ultimate, of course, the source of peace for you if you have nothing else in your life, if things get to be in intense mode for you, if you're going through a grieving process, you have your instrument, but also it helps you understand arithmetic better, number one, and that is going to behoove you all your life. And number two, it gives you a place of serenity so that you can establish relationships with people. I really believe that.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Everything you said, just definitely right on the mark. It's just, you know, again, music opened so many doors for me. And I'm still looking to open some doors too. You know, there's as much success as I've had chart-wise and on the radio and stuff, I'm still, you know, there's things you still want to attain. I still want to play at, you know, like Berks Fest someday. I still haven't done that. You know, there's festivals and there's more music to learn and more music to record. So, again, it's just like breathing for me. And besides being a place of solace, it's a place of expression, joy, everything to me. You know, music, everything's involved in it. A lot of my songs I write for my son, who's a freshman in high school now. And,
aww.
You know, I actually took a couple of years off of not playing out too much to coach football. So, you know, it's been a weird time for the past couple of years, but I'm back full tilt to performing live and, again, trying to get into a lot of different festivals and promoting the new record and still composing for all these different, you know, TV and film opportunities that I have before me. So,
so you want to play at Berks, huh?
Oh yeah, I've sent so many emails to them. I tried to let them know. You know, I said, you know, some of the good people you have there. I said I'm above them in the charts right now. How about letting me come out there? But just never got any response to it. And that's you know, one of the festivals I've always thought, God, it must be so cool to go out there. And my brother, he lives in Maryland, he said, you know, there's a lot of people that hear you on the radio out here, and they wonder why you don't come back here. I said, look, it's not like I haven't tried. I don't know. I just not getting through.
Well, first of all, where does your brother live in Maryland? Because I'm in Baltimore. So where's your brother?
Crownsville.
Oh, well, that's just up down the road near Annapolis. And another, you should be playing at Ram's Head in Annapolis. I'll put the good word
he
in for you.
He goes to all the concerts. Yeah. And that's another thing that's kind of funny. He'll go and see an artist. And like I was telling you about Kevin Flournoy or Nathan Brown that plays bass for me usually. And those guys go there with other artists. He said, look, the guys in your band are coming here to play. How come you don't go there? So, again, Ram's Head's definitely in the places I want to play. And my brother Michael, who's he's always loved smooth contemporary jazz, and he keeps saying, we got to get you out here, there's a lot of people that want to see you out here. So, well, you work on it out there, because I've tried.
Well, here's the deal, seriously, Patrick, because, you know, Philadelphia is my old stomping grounds, so Berks is just up the road in Reading. And honestly, Gerald Veasley, he's from Philadelphia. He's got that club right in the hotel where all of the activity is going on. You know, it's long overdue for me to get in contact with Gerald Veasley and his manager so that Gerald can come on the show. There's no reason why you can't play at Gerald's club in that in the hotel while the festival is going on. Let me put in a good word if I can.
Oh, I appreciate it. Anything out there would be great. Yeah, I stayed in Crownsville, Maryland for a summer in between college semesters with my brother and worked out there for, like I said, just for in between semesters. And boy, what a great, I just had such a great time out there. The Inner Harbor, I still have memories,
oh, yeah.
Great memories of that place. Jeez.
Yeah. And you know that if you're in the Annapolis area, you've got the water right there and all the restaurants. Oh, my gosh, the food in Maryland is absolutely wonderful. But you've got some great food in San Diego, too, don't you?
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, the food that I had at Inner Harbor and, in, you know, along the boardwalk out there in Ocean City. I still remember that.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of years, and it's just great food, great. Just it was just so beautiful out there, too. So hopefully we can get out there.
That would be absolutely awesome, especially if we could do this in the summertime, because if you haven't experienced, and this is for anybody who hasn't come to Ocean City, Maryland, you have to experience Thrasher's French fries because they're made with peanut oil.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, my God.
They're fantastic. They are fantastic.
They really are. Well, we have some work to do. Now I'm excited because I feel like this could happen. You definitely belong at Burke's Jazz Festival. You definitely
love
do. You're overdue.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
That's a lot of, again, I've got a lot of followers from out there, and they write me every year, you know, what happened this year? You know, it's always like, I tried. You can't tell me I didn't try. So, you know, there's been people that have tried to get me in there, too, trying to find connections and get, you know, put in the good word. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yes, we'll see. John Ernesto, are you listening today? Hello.
Yeah, that is the name. That is the name. That was one of the contacts. So.
Oh, definitely. And there's a few other folks that that need to know that you have an interest there, and one of them is the manager for Gerald Veasley. As a matter of fact, I just found his card the other day, and I was wondering, this is odd. Why did this card turn up? So now,
there it is. You know, somebody told me he's originally from San Diego, Gerald.
You know what? I had thought that
he
may have lived there. That's for sure.
Okay.
But I think that his roots are in Philly. And remember this name, Luther Dowdell. He is the manager. So if you see that name creep across your caller ID, then you'll know.
Okay. I will.
Okay. Very good. Now, let's get back to Soul Grind because we want to take care of that business. Burke's Jazz Festival. Make sure everybody who's listening today gets on the horn and gets on Facebook or tweets John, whoever else, and make sure that Patrick gets there. That's it.
Right on. Thank you.
You're welcome. Soul Grind, how long did it take you to put this CD together? Because this is pretty masterful. There's a lot of tracks on here, Patrick.
like I was telling you, I'm in my studio every day composing for something, and I probably had 30 tracks to consider for this CD when the time came around, and the record label, Intervision Records, was asking me, hey, do you have a new project? We'd love to put out another one of yours, and with the 30 tracks I started going through, and I already had kind of an idea. I had 14 tunes. I thought, okay, this is it. This is the 14th. Well, again, I'm in my studio every day, and Say Al is one of those ones I had composed after I thought I had 14, and after I cranked it up on the studio speakers, and I thought, man, I've got to put this on the album. So, you know, again, it was one of those, is this a little bit too much rock influence for this project? And after a while, it's like, whatever. It's going on. We'll see what people say about it. And so far, it's been really, really great receptions. You know, besides the single "My Lady," it's really gotten a lot of attention. So it's been nice.
And that's what we're going to get to momentarily. And, you know, there's something in your voice that suggests that there's, you know, some trepidation about what you do as opposed to maybe what is expected of you. Here's the thing about you, Patrick. You have created each of these tracks, and each of them is a different vibe and a really powerful, positive vibe, by the way, which is, wow, pretty overwhelming to consider. When some of these artists in the smooth jazz realm, quite honestly, and you know this is true, when they turn out music, there is not the passion that you have in yours, because a lot of these cats have become formulaic, and it's not in you to do that.
It really isn't. And I agree. But again, I know a lot of these guys, and they're trying to make a living, and I don't put them down for it. You know, it's just...
Exactly,
again,
right.
For me, it's different, you know, because, again, with the production stuff I do, it's allowed me to not depend solely on the records. You know, if that was me depending solely on the records, I might be following right in line with a lot of these guys trying to make things sound, not to be mean, but like the canned smooth jazz sound. You know, with me, it's more, I really like this tune. I think people will like it. It's going on the record. You know, it comes down to that. It's not like, well, this doesn't sound like what's being played on, you know, most of the smooth jazz stations. It's become more for me, again, like, this sounds good. I think people like it. This will probably make the final cut for the record. So, and
well,
Vision Records has been great to me about, you know, you put out what you want, you know, you do what you do, and we'll help you promote it. So, it's, you know, they've been great about that too.
Well, you know, the smooth jazz stations have died and gone, Patrick.
Yeah, I know. I know. And that was another thing too, you know, it's like, you know, it's
you
great,
know,
you know, with the internet, it's really kind of turned around, and all these stations that, you know, even though you listed under smooth jazz, they're playing what sounds good to them. It's not like whatever Dave Koz puts out, we're going to play it. You know, it's not, they're not doing that anymore. You know, most of them aren't doing that anymore. It's like, hey, this sounds good. Let's play it. You know, and to me, that's, I was hoping radio was always going to get there someday, you know, just go on the merit of the song, not who did it, you know.
Well, it became a buddy system. And listen, yeah. I was privy to a lot of this information because I was working with some programming types that were big in the industry, and they knew what was happening. There was too much inbreeding in the family and
yeah.
too much decision-making coming from a few different people. And they shot themselves in the foot because they didn't expand their horizons. There was just too much so-called leadership from a couple of different sources only. So if you have one or two people calling the shots for all of these stations, and then these stations lose their local flavor and they accept mediocrity as a norm, you've got a lot of people who are turning out similar music. But here's the thing. You are quite right in saying that these guys have to worry about their families, for sure. I understand that. And you have to make as much money as you can, riding on the popularity that you have. But many of these folks don't take into consideration the intelligence of their listeners. And
I agree.
How... Yeah, you know that. Listeners
yeah.
will accept you because they know who you are. They're not. They don't want the same kind of music from you all the time. They
right.
There's something about you. They've got a chemical reaction to you, and they want to hear what Patrick turns out. Ooh, let's see what he's got cooking now.
I agree. You know, that's to me as an artist, that's what I'm hoping for. You know, I don't want to play songs exactly like the songs I used to write back in 1990. You know, I want people to say, "Oh, that yeah, you can hear me in a song, but it's, you know, the it's changed, it's grown. I mean, I remember Miles Davis saying that, you know. I remember some of the straight ahead jazz guys going, "Oh, Miles, he's selling out." And Miles used to say, "Why should I play that stuff that you're, you know, the stuff you're, of mine that you're playing now? I want it to expand. I want to grow. I want the music to grow. Why would I go back and play the old stuff, you know, over and over again?" So
that's
I've always
right.
kind of kept that in mind, you know. And that was from Miles, and to me, he was king. So.
And, you know, Miles turns in his grave because people try to pigeonhole him after death. And he
yeah.
never wanted to be pigeonholed. He did what he wanted to do
24/7. Right.
So good for you. And with that to say, all of that leading up to My Lady, which is doing enormously well.
Yeah. Well, I was going for funky on this one.
Life's ironies, you know?
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Is so wild. Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm just tickled. Now, this is, I'm sure I know what you're going to say. What's the inspiration for this song?
Oh, yeah. It was, actually, it was written for my wife during a bad week of work. And she's a physical therapist, and she just had some nightmare patients, and it was just a rough week. And I said, I wrote you this song to kind of pick your spirits up, and at least it got a good smile on her face and her head popping. So it came out good. And, it, you know, and after it went on the album, like, you InterVision listened to it, and I listened to it, and we both kind of came out and said, boy, that's a nice single there, you know. It's just the production and everything on it just seemed to match up with what we wanted to put out there as the first single. So there it is.
Well, imagine the smile on her face now when she gets those checks coming in the mail.
I hope so. Maybe she can take a few more days off away.
That's right. Thank you, honey.
Yeah.
All right, this is great. Patrick Yandell is our guest, and My Lady is on Hybrid Jazz right now. Listen up. the chat roomers are saying, all righty then, Patrick, you go ahead and cook. Oh, it's so nice to hear that song. It's just, you know, it's so, it makes you change your mood. If you were in a down mood, it just makes you change. It's a physical reaction to that song. If you can't turn your world around in that 3 minutes and 29 seconds of that song, then you better go to a counselor.
Thank you. That's, again, that's, as an artist, that's what you're hoping to do. You know, just make somebody bop their head for a few minutes and then think, you know, they can keep going with the day. So, thank you.
You're welcome. You have a way, Patrick, of and I'm drawn to those kinds of songs in movies. I really am. Ever since I was a little girl and was allowed to go to the movies by myself, I just got wrapped up in what some songs were or soundtrack music were. And some of these originals that you have are so wonderful. They've got such a fluid sound to them. You truly do know what melody is all about, as opposed to faking it. Because some people think that they know melody, but you really, you do. And that's, you can't necessarily teach somebody that. You either know that or you don't. What do you feel as far as making music, not necessarily for you, but for projects? Do you feel like you're giving your children away sometimes?
Sometimes, definitely. And like we touched on before, you know, there's so much good music, all the different, you know, genres of music, styles, and I try to put them all in, you know, a little touch of everything into each composition, you know, not going too far outside, but, you know, just, but if it's a funky tune like this last one, you know, I always think of instruments I've liked to hear people play in a funk situation over the years, you know, like hearing Roy Ayers playing the vibes, you know, over the years on you know, funky tunes. And so, you know, I'll throw in a little vibes in the background of a song like that. And, you know, again, the guitar work is, if it's funky, I definitely want to keep it with a sound that matches up with that type of tune.
Well, I just had a thought here because you're in San Diego. You might know my ex-husband, and if you don't, you need to make yourself familiar with him, because if you're still doing commercial work, he is the production director of the Clear Channel stations out there. His name is Mike Redmond.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of him, because there's some people that live in our area that work for Clear Channel.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, I'd love to do stuff for him.
Yeah, well, make
That's
sure.
Your ex, huh?
You know,
he lives out here, way out here, huh?
Oh, no, he's a Philadelphia guy. I'm a Philadelphia girl. He's on wife number three, and he's in San Diego now. Yes, a nice safe distance away from yours truly. So you might want to not mention my name, but make yourself known to him.
Okay. I'll try and connect on LinkedIn.
Exactly. There you go. And you make sure that you had some folks in Baltimore and in Philadelphia who made it a point to talk about him nicely. Because as soon as he knows that people were blowing smoke up his pant leg, then he's really receptive to listening to you.
Okay. I'll approach him like that.
Oh, my God. It's a small world, isn't it? It's a small world.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I've kept you for a while, and we had a lot of fun. I'm so glad you had this time. I really am.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm definitely honored, and thank you for having me on. And yeah, it was a blast talking to you, Trish.
It really was, and there's just so much that I would like to say, and honest to goodness, I could probably have you on for another hour, but this is what we'll do. Let's keep in touch, and in the next couple of months, we'll check back in to see how things are going. Because I know that you've got always something new on your plate, Patrick, and I would love to hear about it.
Yeah, let's keep in touch too. You know, just shoot me an email with your address, and I'll send you out some CDs, and you know, go stick them in the face of the Birch Fest promoter and say, "Look, have this guy out here."
Oh, great! That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it will
need
just
any product or anything, just let me know.
Oh, that's good to know. And I'm going to leave this particular segment. The gals in the chat room want to hear your take on Josie by Steely Dan.
They have good taste, those gals.
Yes, they really do. And as a matter of fact, I just found out that we might have Jim Beard on the show, who plays keyboard for Steely Dan.
Nice. Yeah,
so
amazing.
he really is, and it's just so wonderful to be able to discover this great talent. Because Patrick, like you know, your name is right there, but we all live in this ADD, ADHD world. There's so much product out there that unless somebody says, "Hey, have you heard Patrick Yandel's Soul Grind?" You know, I needed to have somebody say that to me, and then I heard it and went, "Oh my God, really?" Yeah. It's become a real treasure in this house, and I thank you for
great.
The music and the creativity. I do.
Thank you, Trish. Thank you.
You're welcome. And say to your wife, please, that we all hope that she has no more bad days.
Yeah, I always hope for that. I always pray for that one.
Yeah, I'll bet you do. Thanks, Patrick.
All right, Trish. Take care and keep
we'll see
time.
You soon. All right, we will. Bye-bye. Right.
Bye-bye.
Patrick Yandel, that was so much fun. Let's do Josie from Soul Grind on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. from Patrick Yandel to Thelonious Monk, this is why we call it hybrid jazz.
Thank you.
Hold on now. I think there's more coming. Hold on. There's supposed to be a minute more in the song. Hold on. Hey, maybe not. We've never played this track on the show before. and we had to play it because, all right, look at that. There's still a minute left in the song, and it keeps on going just like the Energizer Bunny. That's all right. Maybe they had a few more loops in the studio when they did this back in 2003. Allison Crockett, who you have heard on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Actually, it's been several months now, last year. She is one of these goddesses. No joke. Oh, here we go. Could have been that there was some token in the studio that day. I'm just saying. For that kind of gap, and then all of a sudden, you know, when you play some of these tracks on CD at home, it's not necessarily like what you hear when you actually program them into my little home studio here on Blog Talk Radio. That's very interesting. Allison Crockett, who just had a birthday yesterday, my Temple University homie. And that may answer a few questions. Allison is such a wonder. First of all, she's blood-curdlingly beautiful. She's just got this amazing hair, this beautiful free afro. She likes to wear her grandmother's gloves when she's performing sometimes. She's long and lean. She has a blog that is very succinct and to the point. If you don't like what she has to say, it's a shame. See you down the highway. She's just awesome. And that song that you heard, I wanted to play especially because she was doing that kind of, essentially, and it's not everything I want to say, but it's some of what I want to say. Girl power anthem. She is all about anthemology. If you hear anything on Mommy, What's a Depression, which is her newer project from last year, then you know. Allison has done, through the years, hip-hop, electronic, soul for sure, jazz. She incorporates all of that, and she gets political sometimes, and she gets in your face as far as art and politics and the worlds in between and what should be, or ponder, if you will, what could be. She's just really intellectual and beautiful and spiritually inclined in ways that you don't expect. She's, to me, a star. Based in the Washington, D.C. area, she is going to be at Twins Jazz. If you want to have an experience, she's funny, too. Oh, my God. The 11th and 12th of October, Twins Jazz. If you go to Allison Crockett, 1L, Crockett with 2 T's, .net, you'll find out some things that you must know about this mega talent. She really is. On the piano, doing her thing. She's sassy and she's smart. She's sexy. I could go on about Allison. And if she's listening to me, she's going, Trish, stop, please. Stop, girl. Right now, I will. We heard Thelonious Monk, birthday coming up on 10/10. I don't think that we can ever play enough Thelonious Monk. Here's an interesting thing about this legend. The second most recorded, in quotes, jazz composer after Duke Ellington. But here's the fascinating thing. Duke Ellington had about 1,000 compositions that you can find out there. Monk has about 70. Think about that. That's really unusual. What you heard was, and they have this in a holiday compilation, which doesn't make any sense. Because the name of the tune is San Francisco Holiday, it makes no sense. You hear a lot of tunes that are played during the season that have little to do with the holiday season. They just have maybe a word in the song or in the title that suggest to you that it's about Christmas. Ridiculous. San Francisco Holiday. Now, there is a wonderful set that you can buy that Monk has out that he recorded from 1958 to 1961 or thereabout. Oof, just different kinds of flavors from the concerts he did. And if you had ever seen him do his thing in person, you had to marvel. There were some days that were better than others because 9 times out of 10, he would get up off the bench and he would dance while some of the other guys in the band would play. And he would wear this beret and these funky glasses. And people through the years, and one of the folks that was key in his life was Mary Lou Williams. She mentored Monk, and she really took issue with the fact that there were some that would steal his licks. They would actually go to Minton's Playhouse and write down his licks on cuffs of their sleeves or somewhere on their body, and they would even take his signature hat and glasses and make them their own. He was so influential. I can't just say enough. If you go to monkzone.com, there's a whole lot more to say. His story is just too amazing for words. The author of Straight No Chaser, about his life, suggests that he wasn't diagnosed properly. He was certainly bipolar and more, and he had his bouts of this mania and depression and then silence. And it could be that during the times that he was hospitalized, he could have suffered brain damage. Fascinating story about Thelonious Monk. So much to say, and I would say more, but Sister Child is feeling a tad under the weather today. So I want to shut up a little bit and play music. Patrick Yandel has already written to say thank you. Is he marvelous? We heard Josie from Soul Grind by Patrick, and maybe if we have time for another track, we'll get to another one, because honestly, each one is a keeper. 14 tracks. You get your money's worth if you go to Patrick Yandel. Let's see, what is the name of it? Let me go check out for sure what the name of his site is. I think it's patrickyandel.com. And of course, I'm stuck here. Here we go. Hold on. I'll find it. Just taking my time. As soon as the show is over today, I'm going to lay down. patrickyandel.com. There you go. Interesting things that you need to know. One in particular, there was a PBS special that was done about Patrick. Many people have been interested in what he has done through the years, and he just seems to be so low-key about the kind of work that he does. It just makes him that much more fascinating. This gentleman is very much like Patrick, and the source of pride in this regard is that Kevin Jackson is Baltimore-born and bred, also a guitar player, also a bass player. He has a relatively new CD called Stories in Color. Hopefully we'll get him in-house for an interview late this month or early in November before his birthday, before a very big gig that he has. I am so proud to tell you that I've known him for several years now. He was in a band that my ex was also in. So I got to know Kevin on a different kind of level because we would have talks about my ex, and he would always wonder what was going on, and I didn't know, so I didn't know what to tell him. But I had no idea that Kevin was this multifunctional, talented. Oh, my God, this CD, when you finally listen to something, when you have the time to sit down and listen, and you hear the breadth of talent from someone that you did not know as well as you thought you did, it's a mind trip. Kevin Jackson, who calls himself or this project, I should say, Wayman Tisdale meets Carlos Santana. This is the track that you hear first, KJ from Stories in Color, Kevin Jackson, my buddy, on Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
Once again, thank you, John Chung, for sending this beautiful piece of work to me, the brand new one from Hiroshima, J-Town Beat. And that one's called Lady of Mystery, with vocals by Vinks Dijon Parrett. Oh, that was delightful. And, you know, here is what is so precious. I don't know what the situation is with Dan and June Kuramoto. You know, they were married for a long time, and then they divorced. But, you know, anymore, 9 times out of 10, when we find out that a long union has come to an end, we find out invariably that the partners come together again. And it's great. I don't know if that's the case here, but that song was written with June in mind. And actually, Dan waxes poetic at HiroshimaMusic.com to talk about June. He says that he is so amazed consistently that here she is, this quirky, fun, always does everything well kind of lady. When she gets behind an instrument, she takes on this mystical dimension. And he trips out so much thinking about it that he wrote that song, Lady of Mystery. You know, look, when there are certain kinds of pairings in the world, there is just nothing that you can do, even if another pairing comes afterwards. Case in point, yesterday I was so thrilled to read this, and part of me feels badly for being so gleeful about it, because there is such a thing as karma eventually creeping up to you. Mia Farrow, who some of us have known since she was young, in Peyton Place on TV, if you remember that. Many people do not, because you're not as old as me. That's all right. But we have known about Mia Farrow for a long time. She was the daughter of John Farrow. My father adored John Farrow because he was a really good Catholic. And we used to get the Standard and Times in Philadelphia. He would always read these stories about John Farrow, because John would give to many Catholic charities. John Farrow was married to Maureen O'Sullivan, the great actress who was Jane in the Tarzan films. And their daughter was Mia Farrow. They actually had a big family. So Mia has been fascinating through the years. She was married to Andre Previn, and they had some children. And then she was married to Frank Sinatra. The marriage didn't last long, but apparently the relationship did. Wink, wink, nod, nod. She got involved, coughing, with Woody Allen, and most of you know that story. Let's not go there. So the only biological child that Mia Farrow had, we presumed, was with Woody Allen. She had an array of children, she does. She made it a point to get a hold of special needs kids. This is why I love her so much. She loves children, and she has done miracles with the kids that she has had. So when they first had this child, Woody wanted to call him Satchel, and he did. Well, now Ronan Farrow, he changed his name. He's 26. And the story came out yesterday that Mia Farrow said that quite possibly that child is Frank Sinatra's child. So I know that I said this story to tell you to go around and make it a point. There was a special point in saying all this to you. But look, I'm halfway feverish because of this doggone cold. I'll think about it, and then I'll come back to you. But I just wanted to share the story anyway. Isn't that so cool? When you make the side-by-side comparisons between Ronan Farrow and Frank Sinatra when he was young. Dead ringer! Oh, so exciting! So, take that, Woody Allen. That's so bad of me to say that, but I can't help it. Mary Lou Williams, we heard the second song in that set, and that was It Ain't Necessarily So, from El Cristo Negro de los Andes. We just wanted to say it in Spanish, Black Christ of the Andes, very much inspired by St. Martin de Porres, speaking of Catholics. Mary Lou Williams converted to Roman Catholicism in 1956, and she did something that at the time was considered to be a tad controversial. She put together this project combining spiritual music with songs like the Gershwin song you heard, It Ain't Necessarily So, because she felt so newly on fire for her conversion and so much into her work with the Bel Canto Foundation, which is essentially giving back to those who really can't take care of themselves. She was amazing, not only in the way of mentorship and friendship with all of these jazz greats, but being so great herself. Duke Ellington worshipped her, and she was just wanting to make sure that she left a mark on the world as far as getting down and dirty with folks and making sure that they were healed, that they were fed, just as Jesus had said to do, she was doing. So this Black Christ of the Andes album, some critics didn't understand why she was having the secular music with the spiritual music, but she wanted to make sure that people were fed spiritually. So now you understand even more how great of a she was and how some have followed in her footsteps to do gospel and jazz on projects. Love you, Mary Lou, 1964 or so. Angelic and world-weary and bluesy and all of that. She was wonderful. Kevin Jackson, KJ, we heard. Music by KevinJackson.com. Go there and learn more about this fabulous artist. Has been in the music business over 25 years. Guitarist, bassist, producer. His mom used to take him to gospel quartets. The shows, he just ate them up. All of that was in his little Baltimore head. And he just turned out this really terrific CD called Stories in Color. And can't wait to have him on the show. We got to play a few more pieces of music and announce to you something that happened just last night in Annapolis, Maryland. We needed to feel good about something that happened, and you're going to feel good about it. Going to play three songs. Today is Ronnie Law's 63rd birthday. You know that we'll go back to 1975, right? Always There from Pressure Sensitive on Hybrid Jazz. We'll be right back. This is Hybrid Jazz.
It's a simple fact, don't you know? Stash it in your mind for a while. It'll teach your heart while you're smiling. And it's true, we need a number so that one reflects one.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's heaven. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Life's begun. Oh, remember the girls of the star. There we were, here we are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Ooh, home, heaven.
Now you know me here to get a little older. But it's cold down here, yeah, man, it's cold. It's not technically a tennis sort of deal. There's a move a little move before it starts to get much shoulder. But that's all part of life, game. Under the ceiling there, in your earth, the easy chair. You get a fair view. What a panorama with another lot of drama. On a slow view, you stay. I'll try to comedy, lighten up a little bit, make a big kiss. A little like ribbon hits. Everybody in the whole cast plays his part from the heart. It's all on the thing you're digging on to pull it off. But never mind the idle chatter. Really long as you'll be climbing on and climbing on and climbing on. Kick the ladder there and keep a climbing to the edge of every top. Put it down as an everyday exercise. All together, come on, come on. They got us on a planet with a door to call. A high, a low, a good, a bad, a fast, a slow. One glad, one sad, one then, one now. Hey, we always have a choice in what's new. What we all do need a little rest. Sleep at night and sleep a little bit. We're always feeling better in the morning. The natural goes back, the back sun goes down. So we do too. That's true. So we see you at night. Die. Dang, we've never been lost on the cabinet. Had a little golden day and night without a respite. Better get it right. The movie's better than we just survived before a ride. Fans call it a movie, but it isn't really is. We can try to change the name a lot. But hey, what you see is what you've got. That's real sure. You can take my word, everything is everything. More certain. Sort of like remember me. I think I've heard a lot. You, your eyes, you see that I'm dependent on. I need you, oh yes, we do need each other, so I need you.
Seven.
That's heaven.
Man, is that choice stuff or what? Whoa, take six with John Hendricks, Al Jarreau, and Till Bronner on that horn. Woo! Seven Steps to Heaven from the Standard 2008. Let me tell you something. You know that if I could have, I would have been at the Take Six show last night at Ram's Head in Annapolis, Maryland. I'll tell you why. First of all, it was Claude McKnight's birthday. It was the celebration of their 25th anniversary. And if you're ready for this, Joey Kibble proposed to his girlfriend on stage last night, and she said yes. I just got a chill. Claude McKnight is so excited because he said you had to be there. It was the bomb. It was so unbelievable. So congratulations to Joey and his fiance and to Take Six. They had the time of their lives last night in Annapolis. We heard Ronnie Laws. His birthday is today. 63, baby. Always There from Pressure Sensitive, the album that started it all in 1975. RonnieLawsMusic.com ordinarily would have something to say as far as the website is concerned, but for some reason, it ain't working. Got to play another Patrick Yandel track, More Than I Am, on Hybrid Jazz. Listen. Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. We have a special show tomorrow at 6 o'clock and then on Tuesday with Veronica Nunn. And what do you see for the rest of October? Woohoo! Thanks so much. God bless. We'll see you next time.